The following message, titled The Responsibilities of Church Membership, Part 8, is the 12th in the series on church membership. It was delivered on Sunday, February 1st, 1998, to Emmanuel Reformed Baptist Church of SeaTac, Washington, by Pastor Robert Martin.
Please turn with me in your copy of the Scriptures to Matthew chapter 28. This morning, in the midst of dealing with the subject of church membership, we have been looking at this passage, commonly known as the Great Commission. On this occasion, our Lord has called to Him His 11 disciples, and He speaks to them with these words, beginning in verse 18, "All authority hath been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you all the days, even to the consummation of the age." Now, in this series on church membership, which ordinarily would only be a series we would be dealing with in the morning, but because of the nature of our topic, carrying over into tonight seemed to be appropriate, not only for the topic itself, but also because of our annual meeting coming. But in any case, we are examining the premise that a godly zeal for the extension of God's kingdom is expected of those who would be members of Christ's church. And we are looking at two aspects of the statement that is found in our church's constitution. We're looking at a general duty respecting the extension of God's kingdom and a specific duty of witnessing for Christ. And this morning we began to open up that general duty. That general duty that we have as individuals, that we have as a church, to be active, to be laboring for the extension of God's kingdom in the earth. And our text is this text in Matthew 28, the Great Commission. And we are seeking to answer three questions with reference to what our Lord said on this occasion. The first question, to whom are these words addressed? And we saw that though originally addressed to the 11 disciples, that in fact, our Lord has in view all His disciples in every generation, in every place, even to the end of the age. And then we ask the question, by whom are these words spoken? And we saw that indeed He who addresses us with this commission claims to have infinite, unrivaled authority. That all authority has been given me, He says, in heaven and upon earth. But now tonight we want to look at the third question. And that is the question, what is the task which our Lord assigns in the Great Commission? As He speaks as the exalted Christ, as He speaks from the position of all authority in heaven and upon earth, as He addresses the church in every age, addresses His people in every place, what task does He assign to us in the extension of His kingdom in the earth? Well, the answer to that question is found in verses 19 and 20 of our text. Jesus says, "Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you." Now there is much more in these words, much more in these two verses than we can profitably open up if it were to be done in any detail in just the few minutes we have tonight. So I'm going to be dealing with this passage in something of a brief summary way. But the task assigned by the risen Lord to the church. In this task, it seems that there is, as we examine it, an assumed activity and a commanded activity. And by this means, or in this way, the church is to carry out its commission from the risen Lord. Now, the assumed activity is found in the word translated go. Look again at verse 19. Go ye therefore and make disciples. Now, though it is translated in our versions, the word go in our English versions, though it is translated as a command, as an imperative, in the same way as the phrase make disciples of all the nations. Reading our English versions, we would never imagine that there's any difference in the structure of the text in the original text. Go, make disciples, those phrases seem to be parallel. But in point of fact, in the original text, they are not. This word translated in our versions as a command, in the same way as the words make disciples, the word isn't a command in the original. It isn't an imperative, but it is a form which indicates an activity which accompanies the action of the verb with which it is associated in the text. It gives something of the circumstance in which the activity of the main verb will take place. Now, in the text, the main verb is make disciples. The attendant activity, or the assumed activity, or the assumed circumstance, is our going. And therefore, probably most literally, it can be translated, our Lord says, going, therefore, make disciples of all the nations. Assumed in our Lord's commission, assumed in the activity of making disciples, is that in carrying out that task, His disciples will be going. That is, that we will be aggressively active in the business associated with that activity or that command of making disciples. And seeing that we are commanded to make disciples of all the nations, assumed is that we will be aggressively penetrating the nations with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't greatly object if we do as our English version does and translate it as a command, go and make disciples. But in point of fact, the going part is assumed. Our Lord assumes that His people, He assumes that His church is going to be active, is going to be engaged, is going to be involved in this business of making disciples. Now, the activity, the actual activity which our Lord assumes is not necessarily that every disciple will become a Paul, or every disciple will become a William Carey or an Adoniram Judson and carry the gospel to foreign lands. In saying that He assumes that His people will be going, we don't necessarily understand Him as saying that for every one of His people, their part in the going, their part in the activity will involve their uprooting themselves, uprooting their families, and going into a different culture or into a different nation. For some, that may indeed be your part, your task, your role in the extension of the kingdom. But I'm not here tonight to tell you that that is the role of all of us, individually. It may be that God has, quote, called you to foreign missions. But it may be that God's called you to travel no further than across the driveway to your neighbor's house, to tell them of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yet whether near or far, by whatever means, to whatever distance, our Lord envisions His people, He envisions His church as greatly active in the business of extending His kingdom. And assumed in our Lord's commission is the opposite of the seeming evangelistic paralysis which plagues so many congregations. in which people seem to be frozen in place, either unwilling to be going, or fearful to be going, or preoccupied with other things. But Jesus says, going therefore, make disciples of all the nations. He assumes that we will be engaged individually as a congregation, that we will be active in the extension, in efforts, in labors for the extension of His kingdom. Now, in recent days, brethren, I have been greatly burdened that, frankly, we aren't as up and going as we could be and should be. I've been burdened that we aren't as vigorous in seeking to penetrate this community, not to speak of foreign lands, but just this community. I'm greatly burdened that we are not as vigorously engaged in that activity as we could be and should be. Oh, I pray, brethren, we're not unwilling to do so. I hope the answer lies elsewhere. I assume the problem is elsewhere. Perhaps for some of us, we are fearful. And next Lord's Day morning, we'll talk about the fear that seems to plague us when the occasion comes that we must go and speak to a sinner about his soul. It seems an irrational thing, but I think every one of us senses a reality that there's a fear that attends this business. Maybe it could be that some of the paralysis that we feel is because of fear. Perhaps we're uncertain where to start and how to proceed. Perhaps we're preoccupied with other things, whether it's in our personal lives, whether it's in the life of this church, or perhaps the defect. The defect is in the leadership that the elders are giving to you. I don't speak for Pastor Heidel, but I will say for myself that I sense there's a defect in my leadership of this congregation. That after 2 years here, we've made no effective penetration of this community whatsoever. I'll take a lot of the blame for that. But from whatever combination of reasons, the truth is, brethren, it's sad to say, but we are not making any discernible impact on this community. Now, that's the sad reality. Now, I know. I understand my theology. I know that the best of means are but means at best. I know that we are dependent upon the Spirit of God. We cannot make a single disciple. We're absolutely dependent upon a sovereign God. But if we aren't using means, legitimate means, means that have some prospect of success, if we are not using legitimate means to penetrate this community with the gospel, then the problem is not that we are living in a day of small things. The problem is we are neglecting our duty under the Great Commission. It may be that God will withhold His favor. It may be indeed that He will not give His Spirit in great abundance, no matter what efforts we use. But if we never use the means He has given us, if we never make the effort, we cannot say we're living in the day of small things. We can say we're neglecting our duty. Your elders are beginning to discuss ways that we can expose this community to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we earnestly ask you, if you have suggestions as to how we might effectively penetrate this community of things that might be blessed of God, come and speak to us. Help us to discern, to discover those specific measures that Christ might be pleased to use to the good of many of our neighbors. And most of all, brethren, please pray. Pray that God would light a fire under us, that God would light a fire in our cold hearts, and that we would indeed not withhold the gospel, but freely, eagerly, earnestly go forth to speak to our neighbors by whatever means that we might reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we're living in a day of small things in this community, let it not be from our lack of enterprise in trying to reach this community with the gospel. If it is the day of small things, then I say it reverently, let God withhold His Spirit. Let us not be guilty of withholding the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've seen that the assumed activity in our Lord's commission is our going, our being active, our being engaged, our being energetic in the business of seeking to extend the kingdom. Now, what is the commanded activity itself? Perhaps another way to ask this question is, what is the goal that is envisioned in the Great Commission? What are we trying to accomplish? Well, that brings us, of course, to these words. Make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. The goal, of course, brethren, and I don't think I need to tell you this, but I'm going to say it. I want to be on record. The goal is not to get decisions for Christ. That is not the goal. We are not interested, I am not interested in leading you, in getting people in this community to give verbal assent to a shallow, stripped-down, distorted version of the gospel. I have no desire to do that. We're not trying to impress anyone with the number of decisions we can generate. We're not going to try to grow by the addition of nominal members or believers to our membership. If what I understand about the history of this congregation going back now for decades, if what I understand about the history of this congregation is correct, this church has already been there. And we're not going back. I have no desire, and I think I can speak for my brother, we have no desire to lead this church back into a shallow, truly ineffectual form of evangelistic endeavor. Our commission is to make disciples, not get decisions. It is to make disciples. Our commission is to labor, to see established in our neighbors, in this community, a relationship of whole-souled faith and love and submission to the Lord Jesus Christ as their prophet, priest, and king. Now, the truth is, we don't have power to make disciples in this ultimate sense, do we? We can develop methods and measures and schemes to get decisions. There are proven ways to get decisions by the thousands. But that's not our goal. We're looking to make disciples. And we cannot make disciples in this ultimate sense. We don't have the power. We're not clever enough. We're not smart enough. We're not able, by whatever combination of gimmicks, tricks, means, measures, we can't make disciples of ourselves. That is the work of the Spirit. But we do have a duty to employ such means as God might be pleased to use to that end. We have a duty to employ such means as the Word would indicate to us God would be pleased to bless. And if we keep our Lord's goal clearly in view, that is to make disciples, real disciples, committed to Jesus Christ, if we will use means to that end, then I believe on the warrant of our Lord's commission that we have the promise of His own power, we have the promise of His own presence to give some measure of success to our efforts. Frankly, brethren, may God be pleased to start a great awakening. Who knows what God might do? We will not pray, if we will not exert ourselves, God may do it yet, but He'll go someplace else with another people to do it. May God have mercy on us, brethren, to keep the commission of our Lord ever before us. in the words, baptizing them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. In those words, we see that our Lord's concept of discipleship, when He says, make disciples, we see in those words that His concept of discipleship includes incorporation by baptism into a visible church and commitment to universal obedience to His expressed will. At the very least, those words imply that. In His view of discipleship, we're to make disciples. What kind of disciples? What are we to do with them? Well, the Scripture says, our Lord says, we are to baptize them into the name of the Father, the Son, of the Holy Spirit. And we know from other passages in the Scripture that that ordinance of baptism is an ordinance in which people are incorporated into the church. We are not interested in making freelance disciples that are unassociated with the institutions which God has established in the earth. But assumed in His conception of discipleship is incorporation by baptism into the visible church, and assumed is that we will be engaged in instructing people committed to universal obedience to Christ's expressed will. Now, we're a Baptist church. We claim to believe in baptizing men and women into the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are also committed to the concept of a comprehensive walk with the Lord. We're not interested in decisions that go no further. We're not interested in relationships to Christ that go no further than the cross. We're interested in seeing a comprehensive walk with the Lord, walking as that text Colossians 1:10 says, walking worthily of the Lord unto all pleasing. Teaching them, Jesus says, to observe all things which I have commanded you. And in reaching out to this community with the gospel of Jesus Christ, we aren't going to retreat from those distinctives. We're not going to cease being a Baptist church. We're not going to back away, draw back from our commitment to pursuing holiness in the fear of the Lord, to walking in a comprehensive way, to obeying all things the Lord has commanded us. We can't retreat from those things. Our Lord's very commission calls us to those things. Those distinctives are part of what He has commanded us to be. Whatever God leads us to do, whatever He shows us is the right way to penetrate this community with the gospel. We're not going to be hiding what we believe. We're not going to be taking truth's sharp edges off in a misguided effort to conform our church to this culture that we might reach it. That's a mistake that has been made repeatedly over, over, and over again. Take the sharp edges off. Reduce the gospel to some kind of minimum. And that way we might be able, by that kind of conformity to our culture, to reach it. It's a terrible mistake. That mistake will destroy the church. But we will instead be trying to reach this culture with the old gospel, urging our neighbors to nothing less than a transformation which will make them obedient servants of Jesus Christ. Now I want to ask each one of you, prayerfully, seriously consider this question. What part will you play in this business, in this effort? Some of you have preaching gifts not presently being utilized. Some of you are specially gifted to come alongside of hurting people. Some of you are specially gifted to deal with children. Some of you are specially gifted to wrestle intellectually with students. Some of you God has gifted to engage ordinary people in conversation. God has gifted some of you in a special way in the business of prayer. But whatever gifts you have that can be used in this effort, we can't afford to waste you. We can't afford to have you on the sidelines. You need to be in the game. You need to be in the battle. You need to be on the front line. I once heard Vance Havner exhort a congregation with these words as he was trying to exhort them to make an impact on their community if God would be pleased to bless that. And he said to them, he used a very graphic image, and I couldn't help but think of the timing of God, the scripture reading tonight, and what Elisha said. Havner said to that congregation, "They've got us completely surrounded. Don't let a one of them escape." Now, brethren, that's going to take all of us. That kind of penetration in this community can't be done with just a handful. Every one of us, we need every soldier on the front line. And brethren, if indeed this is the day of small things, please let it not be because some of us stayed home in our easy chairs. Christ has commissioned us, has He not? With His unrivaled authority. He sends us forth. He goes before us. He's promised to be with us. He's promised to prosper us according to His will. Brethren, shall we not do His bidding? Shall we not hear Him? Well, that's what our Constitution calls us to be doing. That's what Christ commands us to be doing. That we might walk worthily of the Lord and to all pleasing. Brethren, these can be exciting days. If God would be pleased to build in our hearts a fire of zeal to see the gospel go forth in this community. This community is not too hard for the gospel. The naysayers, the experts tell us that Seattle, that this area is the most unchurched place in America. That there are fewer Christians here than any place in the land. That there's more apathy here when it comes to real spiritual things than anywhere in the land. Good. This is just the kind of place that God delights to manifest His glory. May God be pleased to use us. May God be pleased to wake up every church in this entire community and set a fire in this place that will cause generations to come to marvel at what God had done. Brethren, let us pray. Our Father, we do turn again to You with hope, O Lord, with expectation that indeed You would bear Your arm, O Lord, and manifest Your power. Lord, as we sing in that great hymn, we long to see Your churches full. We pray, Lord, that You would do so, that You would bring, O Lord, by Thy grace, a multitude to a saving knowledge of Your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray, O Lord, that whatever part that we have in this task, Lord, would You not please show us, teach us, guide us. Lord, open those doors for us that need to be opened. Go before us, O Lord. And help us, O Lord, to be Your faithful servants. Father, we ask Your mercy upon this community. Lord, would You not cause the light to shine here? Would You not stir not only us, but our brethren in other churches of whatever denomination, O Lord, wherever the true gospel is loved? Pray, O Lord, that You would build a fire in this place, in this community. And we pray that You would magnify Yourself. We ask these mercies in Jesus' name. Amen.